Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Once we determine what our strengths are, we can use those gifts and talents to help others to heal. Helping others fosters congeniality. Congeniality facilitates peace and love. Now, here's your host, Terry Sue.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Frame of Mind. I'm your host, Terry Sue, and today my guest is author Cal Ori. And actually, she's been on the show before, and we discussed the healing benefits of chocolate. So today we're going to discuss the healing powers of honey. So author intuitive Cal Ori is a Northern California-based accomplished author and journalist specializing in topics such as health, nutrition, science, and pets. She holds 2 degrees in English creative writing from San Francisco State University. Her books include the popular Healing Powers book series published by Kensington and translated into more than 15 languages and purchased by One Spirit Book Clubs from Good Cook to Literary Guild. The healing powers of honey, olive oil, chocolate, vinegar, and coffee are also available at online and local bookstores. She's also a phone psychic for 2 international networks and is a repeat guest on national radio shows such as Coast to Coast and The Man Cal Show. So welcome, Cal.
I want a vacation.
How are you?
I'm just good. Said you summer needed a vacation. Hit. Today's the first day of summer at Lake Tahoe. How about that?
Uh-huh. Well, it's just that the weather's great here, too, as well. So you're up in Northern California.
And you're on the beach. You're in Huntington where the earthquakes are happening.
Yeah, but I haven't felt any rocking and rolling lately, so I'm feeling good about that.
Okay, I won't give you any predictions today and freak you out.
Okay, good. Let's just keep it up. So let's start our conversation by having me ask you, do honey and table sugar have the same basic sugar units, chemically speaking? Because sometimes people will say, well, sugar is sugar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they even have a commercial like that, and I just cringe every time I see that. Oh, my God. And I have to tell you, some of the conservative nutritionists I interviewed, our interviews were cut short because they said the same thing. And they told me during my research that honey is really not healthy. But, you know, here I was assigned to write 300 pages on honey, so I had to curtail those interviews. The deal is, I'm going to do it in a nutshell. Calorie-wise, sugar is less, 48 calories per tablespoon. Honey is 64 calories per tablespoon. But, hey, sugar, white granulated sugar, the stuff that we were raised on as kids in the 50s, I'm a boomer, it's empty nutrition. It doesn't have the antioxidants, the vitamins and minerals that honey does. Honey, unprocessed raw honey, has the antioxidants, those little good little things that keep heart disease and cancer away. The stuff that you find in your fruit, your nutrient-dense fruits and vegetables. So honey is much healthier than white table sugar.
Can diabetics use honey?
Yeah, Yeah, you asked me about that, and I address it in the book without a doubt. And type 2 diabetes is definitely increasing, especially in boomers and elderly people, and you don't want to get that. Your blood sugar won't spike as fast with honey. You need less. You'll want less than table sugar. I have a whole section on diabetes. I'm looking at this. Diabetes dark honey, you know, there's different varietals. I tasted more than 30. But the dark honey is like buckwheat, which you can get used to. It's an acquired taste. May cut the amount of the bad cholesterol in the blood, which may lower the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And again, sugar is, honey is so sweet. You really crave less. Like right now, if I took 1 teaspoon of honey, it would curb my sweet, you know, if I had sweet cravings, like to eat something unhealthy, I wouldn't want sweets anymore. And that's one of the good things about the honey, where you can keep your weight down and keep diabetes at bay.
Mm-hmm. So then why do it, well, that kind of brings me back to the original question. Why do some people say that honey is better for you than sugar, since they're both a form of sugar? And you just kind of answered that as well. And they're different. And because there are different uses for different purposes, those health benefits would vary anyway.
Okay, listen to this. Johnny Bowden, PhD, he's the author of the 150 Healthiest Foods on Earth, The Surprising Unbiased Truth About What You Should Eat and Why. He also praises raw, unfiltered honey. He says honey is the precious stuff. It's a common consensus among beekeepers that the real, in which I saw and tasted and got and brought home, the real from the beehives, the real raw, unprocessed and unheated, unfiltered kind of honey that you get straight from the hive, the honeycomb, is the real deal with good for you antioxidants. Mm-hmm. Think pure apple cider vinegar, unadulterated olive oil, and quality dark cocoa. Raw honey like these are antioxidant-rich superfoods. It's the healthy stuff. You don't see that written about white table sugar. That stuff, you know, I use it for spells. You know, if I want a big check, I'll write down I want $6,000 and put white sugar on it and put it in the freezer. That's what I use white sugar for, swear to God. I have it in the house, but I rarely use it in baking and conventional things. You know, sometimes it makes, you know, baking goods taste better, but I definitely will mix it with honey because you need less honey in baking. And, of course, you want less sugar. It's harder on, you know, it's too hard on the body. You don't want to eat a lot of sugar that leads to obesity and other problems.
I know in Ayurvedic medicine and some cures, they often will ask that we use honey instead of sugar and use it without heating it, because then that can destroy some of the healing benefits of it. So, and I know that I have used it in that way several times, and I have substituted honey in the place of sugar. I rarely eat sugar because I have so much of it in the other things that I eat, and I know that I need to eliminate those as well. But for the most part, I don't buy sugar. I just use honey.
And, you know, the shelf life of honey is amazing. Years ago, centuries ago, they used to use it to preserve people after they were deceased. And honey lasts forever. It can crystallize, definitely, which you had asked me ahead of time. But no worries. You can just put it in the microwave for a few seconds, and the crystallization will go away. And you still can put it in hot tea. You can bake with it, and you won't even know that it's crystallized. I kind of like the chunky taste of the crystallization. And during my research, I received so much honey from around the world. You can imagine what my pantry looks like. And
sure.
I have to say a lot of the honeys have crystallized. But some of the varietals, the kinds of honey, are less to crystallize. They're slower to crystallize. And it's acacia, sage, which I've had, that's near the Sierra Mountains, and tupelo honey, which I just love, from the south, the deep south. Those don't crystallize as fast. But again, it's not awful. You just, you know, nuke it, and it's fine.
Yeah. And I know that as we continue our discussion, some of the different types of honey will be interspersed, you know, throughout the interview. But and I wanted to address that a little bit later on in our talk. But I wanted to ask you how honey aids in digestion. I see little recipes here and there for the use of honey in aiding in digestion. So I wanted to hear your take on that.
You know, that is one question. I looked at everything else and I forgot that one, why it's good. I know if I ever have, I'm looking for it right now. I know that if I ever feel queasy, I'm definitely an advocate of chamomile tea, which mm-hmm. is somewhat bland as far as teas go. And if you sweeten that with honey, that definitely can curb a queasy tummy. Mm-hmm. I know that people, when they have diarrhea, honey and tea together, it's a soothing natural remedy. It's comforting, and it's an easy route to easing intestinal problems. It coats the stomach lining. Team honey with yogurt, and that's another probiotic that can help the good bacteria in your system. So that can definitely, those are some of the ways that it can get rid of the bad bacteria in your tummy, so it can calm it. Digestive problems, I just found it, Tame Tummy Drama. I wrote that running to the bathroom or feeling the pain of colitis and inflammation of the colon or irritable bowel syndrome, you know, a spastic colon when you go a lot one day and then you don't go at all, it's not fun. I had that in college, actually, because stressful, you know, back-to-back classes. If you take a tablespoon of Manuka honey, less than 10, we can discuss
which
that.
Is delicious, I might add.
Oh, really? I'll send you mine. I only can use it topically. I don't like the taste of it.
Really? I
now,
love
it. You're ahead of the game. You have an acquired taste. But if you take one tablespoon of Manuka honey or bee pollen or propolis on an empty stomach, it can definitely help digestive problems, or if preferred, one teaspoon of honey and a cup of soothing ginger or peppermint tea. Yeah, and basically I'm saying in this that it can slow the growth of bacteria in the stomach, and the stomach found that can cause an upset stomach. Scientists in New Zealand found a cause of upset stomach is the bacteria. And so honey can actually slow the growth of this. And that's what could calm an upset stomach, which everybody gets from one time to another. Even if you take antibiotics, that can really, you know, if you have to, and sometimes we do, this could be really good for that.
Yeah, I know my mom, she's 85, and she suffers from IBD. And I have often given her, you know, some chamomile tea and honey to soothe that. And it really does help a lot. So I can attest to that. How about healing, using honey to heal wounds?
That definitely works. Tried and true by Cal herself. Manuka honey. I was sent so much Manuka honey in different forms. They actually have it in lotions and Band-Aids and even straight, just like in jars of honey. In the summer, during the research of this book, I cut the bottom of my foot on the deck on a nail. I was safe with a tetanus shot that I had previous. I was bit by a spider. But my foot, it really, really hurt. Now, normally I would use apple cider vinegar on that because apple cider vinegar has antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties. Well, guess what? Manuka honey does too. A lot, you know, probably even more because they're using it in hospitals. And I don't think they use vinegar in hospitals. It's more folklore. But I turned to Manuka honey on my foot just out of curiosity. And within 2 days, that puppy was healed. It was amazing. And I also interviewed the guru who has done umpteen studies on Manuka honey, Dr. Peter Mullen. I believe he's in New Zealand. And he gave me an exclusive interview on wounds and honey. And he developed, and look at this, he actually coined the term the unique Manuka factor. you'll see that UMF in uppercase when you buy honey. And this is actually a term which is the antibacterial potency of a given honey. Now, you don't want to ingest 10 or higher. You want to ingest, consume lower than that. But it can go much higher, which is good when you use it topically, like if you, you know, have a cut, a laceration. But I had a whole interview with him where he talks about how Manuka honey has been used in, you know, the UK, and it's already beginning to be used in hospitals in the United States for wounds that just don't heal by normal antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I just liked it because it tastes good. And until I read your book, I didn't realize that it had so many health.
Yeah, I really didn't.
I just liked it because I was curious one day. This was years ago. I had never heard of it. And I said, oh, that's unusual. So I started reading the back of it and all, at the jar. And I just bought it out of curiosity. And I love it. So. That's just so good to know.
You know what, Cal?
We have a couple minutes left before we go to commercial break, and so I wanted to ask you, how is honey used as a food preservative? In a couple of minutes, if you could do that.
Get back to me in a couple.
I know I wrote that.
And like I said, centuries ago, it was used to preserve dead bodies. It keeps, you know, it's been used as a preservative for more than 5,000 years. So there's compounds in it that are used as a preservative, I guess, just like the same thing as vinegar, which is a preservative. So I'm going to leave it with that.
Okay. All right. How about how it is, you know, you read about, because you did the book.
Right.
How is it good for your heart, though? How is honey good for your heart?
Again, it has the antioxidants, and this is found in the darker honeys. And when we come back, we could talk about some of the wonderful varietals, kinds that I tasted. But it lowers the risk of high blood pressure and high cholesterol. And those are two things that can definitely promote heart disease, mm-hmm. which is the number one killer for men and both men and women in the United States. And honey definitely can, you know, if we keep our blood pressure lower than 120 over 80 and keep our cholesterol at the right levels, you know, the good cholesterol up it, get in lower the bad cholesterol and our triglycerides, the stuff that, you know, is not good for heart attacks, this can keep us heart healthy.
Yeah, okay. Well, it is now official. It's time for us to take a short break. So this is Terry Sue with my guest, Cal Ori, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave and Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Is there a difference between dream work and intuition? The relationship is closer than you think. These are mutually supportive concepts. When you dream, your intuition serves as a foreshadow of the future and can bring rapid results through dream analysis. Tune in to The Partnership of Intuition and Dreams with your host, Dr. Marcia Emery. Explore this unique relationship and learn to understand how the symbolism of dreams can be clarified. Listen every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Welcome back, everyone, as I continue my discussion with my guest, Cal Ori, on the health benefits of honey. So, Cal, before we went to break, we were talking about how honey is used as a food preservative, but I also want to segue that in a kind of awkward way into longevity. So, tell a little something about how honey is connected with longevity.
People are living longer these days, both men and women, and I was going to tell you as an intuitive, you're going to have a long life because you have good genes. Your mom's up there, so you're going to live long. 200 years old, Terry, that's my prediction. Now, especially if you abide by Callie's Healing Powers books.
I like that a lot.
You like that. Okay, so I have a whole chapter on the main health problems for people in the States and around the globe. They're basically obesity, heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. If you get one of these, you can bet that there's a good chance that your longevity will be shortened, okay? So by incorporating honey in moderation in your diet, you're going to add years to your life. How, in a nutshell, this is how it works. Obesity. The fructose and glucose in antioxidant-rich dark honey will satisfy your sweet cravings, so you're not going to be eating or craving as much sugary, empty, nutritional foods. Okay? So like right now, if I was really craving a donut, which I don't, or a cupcake or something that's not good for me, if I went out into my pantry and add a teaspoon of honey, I would no longer have sweet cravings at all. It would be great. Or even drizzled on fresh fruit, get a double, you know, whammy of antioxidants. Then moving into heart disease. If you get a heart disease, it's definitely going to shorten your life. Again, honey has the antioxidants to lower the risk of high blood pressure and high cholesterol. And you want to keep your blood pressure, you know, at a good, you want to keep those numbers low, not too low, but lower than 120 over 80, and have the cholesterol in check because that's going to keep you heart healthy. The diabetes we already talked about, and cancer. There's antioxidants in the dark honey that act as disease-fighting antioxidants to hinder the cancer process and may reduce certain cancers. So if you keep all of these four problems at bay, obviously, the dark honeys in moderation lowers the risk of heart disease, obesity, diabetes, and cancer. You're going to increase your lifespan. There's a very good chance that you can.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to now switch to the other end of the spectrum, which is young people, and specifically children. So I wanted to have you talk to our listeners and just talk about the whether or not honey is healthy for children.
For children, yes, but for infants, no. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about 1 year or younger. I even have a disclaimer on the copyright page, and then I go into length in another chapter, but I talk about to avoid infant botulism, do not feed honey to a baby who is younger than 1 year. You'll see this all over the internet, and you'll probably wonder, well, wow. But it's just the immune system isn't developed in an infant, and it can cause problems, botulism, which is a poisoning, like a food poisoning. So you just want to refrain from giving an infant honey, definitely, without a doubt.
Does that have anything to do with the spores that are sometimes?
Yeah, and I get into I'm not sure I get into detail. I have a whole chapter on who honey isn't for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I discuss that. Thumbs down on honey for infants. Okay. Sweet honey may contain not so sweet, something I can't pronounce, but the spores. Mm-hmm. The scientific term means honey can cause infant botulism because babies less than 1 year of age do not have the developed gastrointestinal tract of older humans. Honey is safe to eat during pregnancy and lactation when you're nursing. So so it says. While infants are at risk for infant botulism, adults, including pregnant women, are not. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Mm-hmm. And this comes from, you know, it's the consensus of doctors. So it's better to be safe than sorry.
So going back to what you were saying before, if it's somewhat a child that's, say, for instance, 2 or 3 years old, then honey would be okay.
Definitely fine. Yeah, I wish I was raised on honey, but I grew up in the 50s where white sugar and convenience foods, it was, uh-huh. you know, cookies and ice cream and all that stuff, where today it's, you know, we're back to nature. When I do eat ice cream, it's always, I just love, and I mention it in this book, Haagen-Dazs honey vanilla ice cream. It's awesome, all natural with real honey, if you can do that, rather than eating ice cream with, you know, the kind of sugar that I'm kind of against.
Yeah. So let's go back also to talk about a little bit about some cures that some that honey is used for.
Okay.
Such as migraine attacks. How does that work?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I went to the New York Headache Center. My good friend in New York, Alexander Moskop, MD, and I asked him exclusively, he told me the answer, if honey can help reduce tension headaches. And he says the way honey might work for tension headaches is by treating hypoglycemia, which can cause tension and migraines. Also, it is more advisable to avoid getting hungry and eat small, frequent meals, which I do. But caution is advised because the good doctor warned that honey can cause reactive hypoglycemia and worsen the headache. Again, you want a dark antioxidant-rich honey with a cup of herbal tea is really good for this, especially if you have a headache or you feel a headache maybe coming on. And drink plenty of water and relax for sure to kind of keep those tension headaches at bay. He also said the doctor's response gave me hope for those pesky headaches that sneak up on when you travel.
Yes.
And he says that some antioxidants can help prevent headaches, such as magnesium and vitamin B, which are in the darker honeys.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, darker honeys like light, which I like, light buckwheat honey. And I did try that for sinus headaches, which I get. I don't know if it really works or not. I know drinking more water helps keep sinus headaches kind of away for the most part. We have a lot of pollen right now. You ought to see outside at Tahoe, the deck is just covered with that yellow pollen.
Yeah.
Where you get congested and you get that headache right between your eyes. Not fun. And I visited a local beekeeper about 25 miles away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of beekeepers and proponents of honey believe that local honey can actually help you keep allergies away because it has the same pollen in it that kind of works like a homeopathic remedy.
Hmm.
And a lot of people swear that it works. I don't know if it does or not, because I was so busy tasting all the different types of the honey, I couldn't just stay with the honey that he gave me.
Yeah.
You know, so who's to say? You know, it's somewhat folklore and anecdotal, but definitely worth a try if you are prone to seasonal allergies.
Well, you know what? I would have been open to that if I were still living back east. Back east, I used to suffer terribly. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I used to suffer terribly with hay fever every year. I mean, it was awful. I had to take Benadryl and the whole thing. And then when I moved out here to California, I did not have that problem anymore. Hay fever went away.
That's because you're in Southern California.
There you go.
Kind of
yeah. And it's very hot and humid back east. And here, it's that dry heat.
Right. And I've always been a Northern California girl. I'm very prone in the spring and fall. It's always bothered me where I get kind of the nasal drip, the post-nasal drip. I do not like that. Mm-hmm. I used to take a prescription Selday, and they took it off the market.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took Sudafed, and that has terrible stuff in it. I had a bad reaction. So now it's just like lots of tea, lots of water, and pollen's nasty. It can definitely affect you.
Well, you know what? While we're on the subject of different kinds of honey. I kind of wanted to address that later on in the show, but let's just go with it now. I was fascinated to know. I already knew that there were several kinds, but I, you know, until I went through your book, I didn't realize there were that many, and particularly when you talk about the buckwheat honey, and I had never even heard of buckwheat honey. And so what kinds of honey are used for, just give us an example. I know you've given us a couple of examples for the buckwheat, but what other, and the manuka honey?
I just want to go, in the first chapter, I kind of introduce you, I call it the Healing Honey Parade, and I give you a rundown of the 10 most, the best honeys for health reasons, okay, the dark honeys. And these are acacia. It's a light, white, yellowish medicinal honey. Comes from the black locust tree. Blueberry, which is awesome. I've cooked with that. Golden in color, rich in antioxidants. It comes from a flowering shrub with pale flowers. Buckwheat, dark and rich, acquired taste, high in antioxidants, annual herb. Goldenrod, that's amber, golden, medicinal, comes from perennial with branches of golden flowers. Hawaiian Christmas berry, that's rich, golden, high in antioxidants. It comes from the Christmas berry bush. Manuka, which you like, I don't. dark amber orange color. It's medicinal. I will use it topically, though. I can't pronounce this. Cidr. It's extremely pricey, kind of like balsamic vinegar. Super dark amber medicinal. I do have it in my pantry, and it comes from that tree. Raspberry. It's pale yellow, medicinal, and it comes from the American red raspberry shrub. Sunflower. It's yellow. It's an annual herb with daisy-like flowers. Wildflower, which I love.
Yeah, something like sunflower honey. What would that be used for? I mean,
The wildflower right beneath it. I've cooked with that, like with scones, and I've used it in tea. I love wildflower honey. It's light golden, but it's medicinal, and it comes from a variety of wildflowers, and it's really tasty. And if you're trying, you know, like people that eat dark chocolate, it's an acquired taste. Not everybody can go to 70% of cocoa content. It's just kind of bitter.
Right.
And so I would say, you know, start with some of these, the ones I mentioned, like wildflower, because you are getting the antioxidants and it has a very pleasant flavor. But, you know, there's more than 300 unique types of honey available in the United States. 300. And here I thought I was all that with 30 in my pantry. Well, 30, think about it. That's a lot of tasting.
That is. It really is.
It is. So. It is. Blackberry honey, that, just amazing. That went fast. I enjoyed that fruity honey mixed in a bowl of granola with milk, and on a blackberry shortcake that I made, and whole wheat biscuits, and fresh blackberries. That is wonderful. Clover honey, people are very familiar with that. You can get that in your, you know, major grocery store, like with orange blossom. Those are the two most common that you can use. They're pretty universal with baking, cooking, in your tea.
Yeah, and that used to actually be my favorite, the orange blossom honey.
Same here. It's you can't go wrong with that if you're not sure which honey to use. Cranberry honey, that is wonderful, wonderful. It's really great for holidays, to put on scones or poultry, breads. I tried a cranberry honey jelly that was just amazing on homemade cornbread. That was so good.
When we come back, I wanted to also talk to you about some of the ways that honey is used as a beauty treatment, but we have about a couple minutes to go before we go to commercial break. So when shopping for honey, though, let's just take these couple of minutes to talk about how do you shop for the best quality of honey? What should a person look for?
You're going to be, you want, the first and foremost is to go to your local beekeeper if you're that lucky, and a lot of people are, and it's an amazing experience to see right where it's coming from, you know, fresh from the hive, see the bees, it was a wonderful day that I did that. I was all scared, but nothing to be scared of. It was a wonderful experience, and the honey, just tasting it right from the beekeeper is the best, because, you know that it's not tainted with anything. Mm-hmm. It's fresh. It's real. It's not funny honey, with cut with different things. Yeah. The source. At your grocery store, you're limited. Clover, orange blossom, you're very limited. I have a wonderful resource list in the book where you can get so many honeys, all the varietals, online. And that's how these honeys came to me from all over the globe, from the States and even around the world. And that's what I suggest, is to, if you don't have a local beekeeper near you, or if it's an inconvenience, order these special varietals online. They come to you, no jars broken, beautiful containers. Mm-hmm. It's worth the expense, and it's not that pricey. Mm-hmm. So I say order online.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about maybe a couple of beauty treatments. And also, we're going to be talking about the plight of the bee and making sure that the bee stays healthy. So this is Terry Sue with my guest, Cal Ori, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America 7th Wave and Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? How do I get there? If you're searching for the answers to these and other spiritual questions, you can look within. And you can tune into The Open Door. Our program will expand your awareness of the teachings of the Ascended Masters, offer you practical tools that promote self-mastery and personal freedom, and provide an unerring pathway for graduating from Earth Schoolroom. The Open Door with host Tom Schumacher and Terry Kennedy is broadcast live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America.
Create yourself first to create the life that you want. Join Dee Wallace, actress, author, and healer, for Conscious Creation. She'll give you clear and concise answers to the blocks, beliefs, and fears that stand in the way of your self-creation. Are you ready to create your own life powerfully? Tune in to Conscious Creation with Dee Wallace, broadcast live every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern, on 7th Wave Network. Love yourself, experience your power, acknowledge your value, and expand into your greatness.
Be visionary. Be extraordinary. Be the change. This is the 7th Wave Channel on the Voice America Network. Tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terry.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Once again, welcome back, everyone. As I continue my discussion with my guest, author Cal Ori, on the health benefits of honey. So, Cal, before we left for break, we were talking about the different types of honey and some of the ways that they are used and their various tastes. But I want to kind of move into how honey is used as beauty treatments. And so I want to start off by asking how it's used as a skin treatment.
Well, they have
a lot of those little mixtures, that you can add honey to put on.
It goes back to the days of Cleopatra, where she actually used the famous milk and honey baths, and then moved to present day. I was spoiled again by a company that sent me prepared honey products. Talk about being spoiled, from lotions to exfoliants, face creams, you name it, from head to toe that you can use. But the day that I met the beekeeper, prior to meeting him, I was spoiled at a 4-star hotel. I got to have an orange blossom Manuka honey bath. They put me in a 140 jet bear claw bathtub.
Wow.
filled with this Manuka orange blossom honey solution and hot water, and they left me there for half an hour. When I got out of that bathtub, it was relaxing itself. You can imagine drinking a cup of tea with honey. And getting out of that tub, my skin felt so silky. It was amazing. And you can buy that stuff and do it at home. You don't have to, spend a lot of money to go to a spa, but you can do it at home. It's just so amazing to the skin. And then I have a lot of do-it-yourself treatments where you could actually just use the real honey just that you buy in the jar from, the spa beautifying treatments at home, milk and honey bath. You could buy the Manuka honey drizzle body mask. At a spa, you can get an orange blossom and body wrap. You can have a Manuka honey drizzle pedicure, if it made my whole body silky. You can imagine what it can do to your feet, especially in the summertime.
Absolutely.
I have all these do-it-yourself little recipes that you can use.
Yeah, and with using those recipes, I picture myself doing those things at home. Now, I haven't used honey on my skin or anything like that, but all of those things you imagine yourself using inside your home. But then when I see something like used to protect the skin from the sun, I have this cartoon that goes on in my head about putting honey on my skin, and every bee in town is chasing me all over the place. Or every bug in America is chasing me all over the place because I have this honey on. So how is honey used to protect the skin from the sun?
I saw that question, and I don't know where I put that in the book. And it's funny you say that, because when I was in Hawaii some years back, I sprayed my hair with this natural, fruity, whatever conditioner, and I was the only one by the pool that had all these bugs around me, and I couldn't figure it out. So I'm not sure how I did say that it can be a protectant. I don't know. I really don't. I'm sure it's somewhere in the book. We'll find it
next time. Yeah, I'll have to dog ear that page or put a little sticky note in there. I thought that was really interesting. And how do you keep bugs from attacking you? You may be protected from the sun, but what about the little creatures of nature?
Speaking of little creatures, we were going to talk about how they're dying off, colony collapse disorder.
Yes.
And this is a condition that causes honeybee colonies to vanish without trace. You may have seen that movie, The Happening, where the school teacher in the beginning, he actually quotes from Einstein, who never did say that, but it is said that somebody said it, that once the honeybee becomes extinct, the mankind will follow within 4 years after. The deal is, back in 2006, the honeybees started dying off, the colonies. These are the people, the beekeepers. A colony is 50 to 60,000 bees, okay? And all of a sudden, their hives are just going AWOL. And the bees aren't found dead, right, where the hives are. They're gone. They just leave. They literally vanish. I talked to beekeepers in length, and it's heartbreaking. One man lost half of his colonies. I mean, that's his livelihood. Not only was he connected to his bees, you do get close to the little critters that help you make your money, they don't know why. I talked to researchers all over the nation, and I did talk to one scientist at UC Davis, and there's a lot of theories out there. Now, just recently, people were saying, we know what it is. We know what it is. It's the pesticides. But when I was on Coast to Coast, I told George back April, a couple months ago, no. It's not just the pesticides. And my people agreed with me the next day at UC Davis. There's other theories. Climate change, diet, mites, pesticides is one, and viruses. Also, the stress of traveling for pollination of crops. There's a lot of beekeepers out there that travel with their bees to pollinate crops for our food. That's stressful to the little hardworking double-duty shift honeybees.
Yeah, I saw something like that on one of the Nature channels. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how, some of the scientists had been following the flight patterns to see where the bees were going and what they were doing. You know, what were their activities like that were that was causing the population to decline like that. And it's a lot of those different factors that came up during the course of the show. So, yeah, I can relate to some of the things that you're saying, because they can't pinpoint anything, one thing. It's a myriad of factors.
Exactly. It's a mixed bag. And Dr. Munson, after that show, he said, yes, I was right. It's not just one thing. If it was pesticides, we would have known the answer 6 years ago. This past year hasn't been as bad, though. Thank God for us, the bees and the beekeepers, but it's not over by any means. Munson did say in the book, none of us know why the bees are not as vital as they used to be. In many cases, some people actually trace this back to 1950. In many cases, this may be due to the limited access to good varied supply of pollens. He hopes in our lifetime scientists will discover what is killing the honeybees, but he notes, even if we find the cause, will we be able to overcome it? It's like AIDS. You know, we find the cause, but can we overcome it? We know we have cancer, but can we overcome it? I interviewed a lot of people, like Bee Culture magazine editor Kim Flodum, is aware of the global plague of CCD, still lingers, but he remains positive. He said that researchers, beekeepers, and concerned citizens all over the world have come together to resolve the health issues our honeybees face. Mm-hmm. And you may be thinking, well, so what? So we don't have honey, big deal. We'll go back to our white sugar. It's more than that. Our honeybees actually pollinate one-third of the food supply of our food chain, the good stuff. We're talking about the fruits and vegetables and nuts that we all love and that are healthful. You know, those are the things that keep us healthy because they have antioxidants. So imagine a world without no vegetables, without nuts. Not fun, especially for a vegetarian like me. I'm not a vegan. That's another thing. A lot of people, vegans will not eat honey. They, somebody attacked me on Twitter the other day saying that, vegans do not eat honey because they're stealing from the honeybees. But I went ahead and looked, and only about 1% of the population in the United States are strict vegans.
Yeah.
Vegetarianism is very easy for me. Being a vegan, I'd have to cut out organic milk, low-fat dairy, fish, which is good for you in moderation, and I don't know if I really want to do that.
But you know, Cal, we live in such a web of interdependence. It is hard to pinpoint any one thing, so we better be mindful of how we're living in general and how we treat our fellow living creatures here on this earth, because
exactly.
We do depend on each other in one way or another. So, sure. Which brings me to the question, we were talking about pollen. Is pollen in honey good for your health?
Yeah, I discuss in a section in the book about the super bee foods, and I have those in my pantry, and if you want me to send that to you, you could have those too. I don't want them.
Oh, my gosh.
They're very pricey. You get them at health food stores, And I was blessed because they were sent to me pro bono, but it's an acquired taste with a capital A. We're talking about nutrient-rich bee pollen, propolis, and royal jelly. Now, these are awesome. They're really good for you, for your immune system. They're amazing. And they're touted for their healing powers by beekeepers and medical experts. But oh, it's an acquired taste. They look really gross. I mean, the royal jelly, when you open it, I mean, I was sent this little jar that's so expensive. And when I open it, it has all these, like, black sesame seeds things looking at me, greeting me on the top of it. I barely tasted it. And I didn't mean to be ungrateful. It's just it made me squirmish. You really have to be bold, brave, and a health fanatic big time. And I am a health nut, but I'd rather just do like wildflower honey, you know, because I like it. But you can get some of these super bee foods in capsule form, you know, if you're not as squeamish as me. And again, if you go to a health food store, I'm sure the people that work there, they'll tell you they sell. They definitely sell, and people take them.
I see a lot of it, no matter which health food store I go. I always see a variety of royal jelly products.
For fertility, too, and it's an aphrodisiac. It's used, not just the immune system. So they definitely have a lot of perks. It's just I'm not there yet. So I'll send you a care package.
Okay, I'd appreciate that. I wanted to ask you, health-wise, what is the difference between unifloral and multifloral honey? Now, uni meaning one and multi meaning many, but what is the...
single origin, you know, from one source. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if a bee goes to one flower, like the wildflower, and the multifloral just means the bee goes to a bunch of different flowers.
No, I understand that part. But what I'm saying does one have any more healthy significance over the other, health benefit over the other?
My gut instinct says no, but I'm going back to the chocolate where single origin is supposedly is healthier. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there is a difference, and I'm not sure if I really addressed that in the book. Did you see it in the book somewhere that I really got
into? No, I was just going to – it was just a question that, you know, I had seen unifloral, multifloral honey, and I was going, okay, you know, uni meaning one, multi meaning many, but coming from many different – sources. However, my question was if say for instance you have a multifloral honey and there are health benefits from each flower or source of that honey, is that all incorporated in that multifloral honey, which would make it better than a unifloral? Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying, and I did a quick search right now, and multifloral raw organic honey is coming up more at health food stores. So I'm going to have to say the multi could be healthier than just looking at multifloral. Bear with me here.
It's okay.
Well, it's basically the raw honey. We know that in organic form is the healthiest and healthier even than what you're going to get at your supermarket shelves.
And that was another question I was going to ask you, too. Oh, gosh, we're coming up on closing now. But natural and organic, are those terms used interchangeably when it comes to honey?
Pretty much. Organic, definitely. Unadulterated honey hasn't been messed with. Again, you get it straight from the honeycomb, just like I did from you know, the beekeeper, if you're lucky enough. And you don't want it pasteurized, which gets rid of the enzymes, the minerals, and vitamins, just like with the vinegar. You want to get it raw. And you mentioned earlier, you know, cooking and baking, of course, you're going to lose some of the antioxidants. So if you have a choice of, you know, baking with honey or just drizzling honey over fresh fruit, of course, you want to have it in the raw state. You're going to get more antioxidants.
Yeah. Okay. But you know what? Right now, we're out of time.
It's over. It's over.
It's a good excuse for me to have you back, so not a problem.
And I'm going to find the answer to that question to lead in. If we talk about vinegar next time, what you wanted to do, I'm going to have the answer about multifloral, and we'll let everyone know. But I, from what I'm just looking at, that may be the healthiest.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I want to thank you, Cal, for
fun.
Sharing your expertise and suggestions for using honey to heal our mind, body, and spirit. And if our listeners would like to find out more, how can you be reached?
My website, www.calorey.com. You can email me on the homepage, and I'll answer any questions you have.
Okay, and I want to thank you, my listening audience, for tuning in to Frame of Mind today. And I hope that you've enjoyed our time together. If you know someone who could be helped or served by this knowledge, please do so. And in the meantime, live in peace and love and enjoy your day, everyone. Bye.
We hope that you've enjoyed our program this week. Please join your host, Terry Sue, again next weekend. We'll be here Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on 7th Wave Network. Until then, focus on your strengths. Live and think healthier this week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.